Hello, friends. It's me, the president of Chickenlandia. Did you know that I have a new book that is now available for purchase? You heard that right. It's called Let's All Keep Chickens, The Down-to-Earth Guide to Natural Practices for Healthier Birds and a Happier World. It's now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, and more. For more information on how you can grab your copy, just click the link in the show notes. It's so exciting, I can barely handle it. Okay, on with the show.
Welcome to Chickenlandia's 100% friendly podcast, Bok Talk. This show will help you learn all about how backyard chicken keeping can be fun, entertaining, and stress-free. Here's your host, the president of Chickenlandia!
Welcome to Chickenlandia and welcome to Bok Talk, your 100% friendly Backyard Chickens 101 show. So if you are joining me here in the live show on YouTube, that is awesome. If you're listening to the podcast, that is very awesome too. And I'm so glad you are here. Today we are going to talk about the best supplies for chickens and just to have on hand for chickens. We're also going to talk about a first aid kit for your chickens. And I'm going to talk to you about homeopathics for your chickens. And of course, mites and lice, because that's everyone's favorite chicken subject. So I just want to acknowledge that, you know, we're in a very weird time. I wonder how you guys are doing. I hope you're not too stressed out. I see I have a few people here in the chat. It's been a stressful time for me. Actually, today I took my rooster Philippe. Now, if you have been following me for a while, then you know that I have a rooster. His name is Philippe. He's a little guy. And he is a very difficult guy. He's very difficult. But I love him. Nonetheless, he attacks me daily. He scratches up my legs every day when I go out to the chicken yard. But he's a really good protector. And he actually saved one of my chickens from a hawk. So that was kind of a big deal. A few days ago, I went outside and his nair, which is a chicken's nostril, was just completely plugged up and it was very swollen. And I was shocked because I hadn't noticed that before. I don't think he's had it for long, but I was like, oh my goodness. And I did bring him inside and I followed the whole, you know, my whole sick chicken protocol. But it soon became clear that it was beyond something that I wanted to do at home because I was concerned that I would cause more infection that was likely already there. So this morning, I took him to the vet. So he's actually at the vet right now, and we're going to put him on some antibiotics for a couple weeks. I'm somebody that very rarely uses antibiotics on my family or on my chickens, but sometimes they're just necessary. And so he's going to go on a course of antibiotics. And the doctor said that he's really hoping that this, it's almost like a growth he has in his nair that it will break up because it's just infection, but he's concerned it might be a tumor. So I really hope that's not the case. I love my Philippe. You know, we're just going to hope for the best. So I want to say hi to a few people that have popped into the chat. Sunny's Place, thank you for being here. Chloe Smith, thank you for being here. My Garden and the Dinosaurs Who Live There, it's so good to see you. And if you're listening on the podcast and you're wondering why I'm saying these names, it's because they are other channels. Many of them are other channels, or they're some of my viewers that are just watching on the live show. So if you catch me on my YouTube live show, then you can ask me questions live and I can usually get them. Now, remember, this is a one-woman show. So sometimes I miss questions, But the best way to submit your questions to me is to go to my website, which is welcometochickenlandia.com. And if you go to the contact section, you will see that there's a little drop-down menu and it says ask a chicken question. So go there, ask your question, and I will get it. And then it could be on the next Bok Talk. So that's a lot of fun. 13 Moons Homestead is here. She is my moderator, one of my trusted moderators. I'm so glad you're here. If you get a chance to check out her channel, she's got some really exciting stuff going on. It's a new homestead, and it's fun to follow along with her. She really knows how to pick good music. So if you want to watch a nice, relaxing channel, go visit 13 Moons Homestead. Do the chicken dance, says Pano Marinacos. I hope I'm saying that right. I've done the chicken dance before, but you have to go watch my videos. Okay, so without further ado, I want to go right into the questions that were submitted to me via my website. So we're going to start out with a question from Katie Doyle. And she asked, what is your must-have list of supplies that a new chicken keeper should have? And this is a great question. But I want to start out by saying that chickens really don't need that much. And I always want people to remember that, because I am someone who is really passionate about making sure that chicken keeping is inclusive for everybody, regardless of what your economic status is. And so I just want to make sure that everybody feels like it is something that they can do without having a lot of, without spending a lot of money. So just keep in mind that for millennia, chickens have lived, they've enjoyed a wonderful symbiotic relationship with human beings. And basically humans would provide for them shelter. Sorry, that's my kids. If you can hear that, I don't know if you can hear that, but my kids are being really loud because, as you know, everyone's home. So just shelter, feed, some oyster shell, or you can even feed them their own eggshells back to them to supplement their calcium, because laying hens do need a calcium supplement. And then grit, you're going to want to make sure that they have some grit. And especially if they don't, okay, good. 13 Moons Homestead says she can barely hear them. I can hear them. if they don't have access to pasture, then you're definitely going to want to make sure that grit is available to them. And what grit does is it just helps them to digest the grain and the other vegetation or feed that they eat. It's very important for their digestion. So make sure you offer that to them. Some other things that I keep on hand that are very basic are, and that's just basic, not like basic, but all these things are extra. I don't know. I don't know if you get that, but I do, because I'm on my phone too much. I'm online too much, and I have kids. So apple cider vinegar is another good one. Now, apple cider vinegar has got a little bit of flack lately. There have been some folks that are now saying that it's not good for chickens. There is a study that, well, first of all, apple cider vinegar has been used for a long time by farmers for chickens. So with that, because I'm definitely more natural leaning, and I'm more likely to ask a farmer, hey, what have you done, you know, to help your chickens, and just go with that knowledge for the most part. But I am also going to put a link in the description here. And if you're listening to the podcast, I'll put that in the show notes. And it's just about how apple cider vinegar can be beneficial to your chickens. Even though it is getting some flack lately, I still am using it, and I think that it's a good supplement for your chickens. So, and then, I don't know if you can hear my kids, but they're being really loud. I also keep vitamins, probiotics, and electrolytes on hand. Whenever a chicken gets sick or injured or is under severe stress, it's good to supplement them with a vitamin, probiotic, electrolyte supplement. Now, you can get all those things separate from each other, but I know Henny and Rue has one. It's just got everything in it. And then I'm sure there's probably other companies that sell supplements that have all three vitamins, electrolytes, probiotics. So that is a good thing to have on hand. And usually they'll sell them in like a little packet. And then definitely, I think it's important to have an area where you can put a sick chicken in case you need, in case you have a sick chicken. It would be like a chicken hospital. So in our garage, I have a crate. It's a dog crate and it's got some puppy pads in it and it's got a feeder and a waterer in it. And if I have a chicken that isn't well and I need to separate that chicken from the flock, I just have that area that's just ready to go. And it's stressful when you find a chicken that's injured or a chicken that's sick. So it's good to just have everything prepared. And you may need to also have a heat source, either a heat lamp, but keep in mind that a heat lamp will present a fire hazard. So some type of heater, heat lamp, or a heating panel in case you need to supplement heat. If you keep them inside, then you don't have to worry about that. But if you have them like in the garage or if you have them in this area in a barn, then you will likely need to supplement heat. So good idea to have that. And I just want to say hello to some people that I saw that have joined in the chat. I see Rockin' C Homestead is here. They just had some baby goats and it's super duper cute. TNS Dogs and Dragonflies Farm. Hello, how are you? Glad that you're here. And I see Green Dream Project has joined us. Green Dream Project is an awesome channel. They're also a moderator for me. If you get a chance, go check them out. They are like in the desert. And when I say in the desert, I don't mean LA, okay? Or Las Vegas. I mean, they're in the desert. Like for real, like rattlesnakes. Okay. I actually used to live close to where they live right now. It is in the middle of nowhere and they are out there just doing it. They are just doing it. They're creating a homestead. They're being self-sufficient. It's really awesome. So if you get a chance, check out their YouTube channel. Definitely do that. And I see EY has joined from Pacific Beach, Washington. Thank you for being here. And Brian's Los Hills Homestead. Am I pronouncing that right, Brian? Thank you so much for being here. Okay, so another part, another thing that I want to mention to Katie Doyle, answering her question about what is my must-have list of chicken supplies for new chicken people, or chicken keepers, I should say. I think that you should probably have a chicken first aid kit on hand. Now, I will confess that my chickens are so much a part of my family that basically we all use the same things. I mean, I don't use the same actual like bottles of products on my chickens that I do my family, but you know, I use Neosporin that I have for my chickens. I use gauze and vet tape. And, you know, I just have those things kind of all over the house for my family and for my chickens and for my dogs. So what I need to do is put them all in one area in a cute little box. And I'm planning on doing a video about the ultimate chicken first aid kit. But for now, that would be a very comprehensive list. So I don't want to go through everything right now, but there are many, many, many blogs online that you can find that list things that you can keep in a chicken first aid kit. And they're like almost all of them are the same or very, very similar. You'll find things like Neosporin, like I mentioned before, Blue Coat, which is an antiseptic and an antifungal for chickens, and people use it for dogs too. You just need to know that with Blue Coat, it has a gentian violet in it and it stains everything. So if you get it on your fingers or if you get it on your clothes, it's going to be purple, or it's kind of blurple, I guess. So I would recommend just going online, typing in chicken first aid kit, and you're going to get a number of blogs with nice lists of what to get. Now, a couple things that I use that I haven't seen in a lot of other first aid kits are I do use some essential oils, and I'm also somebody that uses homeopathics. So before I go on, I'm going to give you my spiel, as I do in every video just about. I'm going to tell you I am not a veterinarian and I am not a licensed homeopath. My family has a homeopath, and she actually treats our chickens and our dogs. And I have been using homeopathy for 25 years, and I really like it. Now, some people are just not convinced about it, and that's okay. That's okay. These are all optional. Hey, the Haskins Family Vlog is here. Thank you so much for being here. Haskins Family Vlog, they are really doing some fun stuff over there. It's a great channel if you get a chance to check it out. She's also another one of my wonderful moderators. So homeopathy, some people get it confused with the word holistic. So they'll say, oh, I'm using a homeopathic essential oil, but that doesn't exist. Homeopathy is a whole nother modality that's separate from other natural modalities. It's been around for a long time. And what I do is I keep just a certain amount of homeopathics that I know are that I can use in certain situations with my chickens. And I will tell you right now what I keep. I keep them in a 30C potency. So if you go to the health food store, maybe you have a co-op in your town, or if you go to Whole Foods, or even I think probably like Vitamin Shop would have them, you look in the homeopathic section, you will see that there are different potencies. You'll see 6C, you'll see 30C, you might see 200C. So the potency that I would recommend for chickens is 30C. And the ones that I get are aconite. Hold on, I got a list right here. And where is it? Hold on. Oh, here it is. Next page. So I will use aconite. I will use arnica, arsenicum album, carbo veg, and I didn't put the whole name, and I think it's vegetabilis, antimonium crudum, and gelsenium. And those are just a few. I have like kits of many, many different remedies. But for a chicken keeper that is starting out, that is interested in using homeopathy, then I would suggest just starting out with these few. And if you can only get two, maybe three, I would get aconite, arnica, and arsenicum album. So aconite is good for shock, fright, or a sudden illness. So if there was a hawk attack in your chicken yard, I would immediately just, if you had a chicken that was in shock, I would immediately give that chicken aconite. And the way that I administer homeopathics is I'll take one pellet, I'll put it in some water, I'll put that water into a needleless syringe, and I'll give them just a little drop. And if you get it just like right on the beak, then that is a dose for them. And I'll just give them one dose and then see how they're doing. And I'm like getting way more into it than I thought I would. I plan on doing more videos about homeopathics, but they're not simple. I think some people use them and they're like, well, it didn't work. But that is likely because whatever remedy you used wasn't the right remedy. And so you didn't dose it correctly. So I think aconite is great for shock. Also, arnica is good. Now, if you can find any number of products for humans that contain arnica, and that's because it's for bruising or injury. And or like swelling. And arnica is also good for shock. So just having those two on hand, I think, would be very beneficial. And then the other thing that I have on hand all the time, not just for chickens, but for me too. and I've been using a lot of this lately. It is Rescue Remedy. This is a liquid. And if I have a chicken that is new and it's obviously stressed out because it's new to the flock and I'm trying to integrate it in with the flock, I will give them Rescue Remedy, just a couple drops in their water. If there was an attack, a predator attack in the chicken yard, chickens are stressed out, couple drops in all of their water. Or maybe they're like they had to move coops or there's some construction nearby, then I will reach for that Rescue Remedy. I just really like it. And even if they're sick, I will give it to them because it's just something, it's a natural stress reliever for them. And it's very, very gentle. It's a flower remedy. It works a lot like a homeopathic would. So those are some extra things that I keep on hand that you don't normally see in other recommendations for what to keep in your chicken first aid kit. I definitely use them a lot. So that's what I do. And just keep an eye out for my video. It will probably come out this spring. A list of things that I would keep in my chicken first aid kit. I also do keep essential oils. I keep them separate from these. Essential oils really need to be separate from, if you're listening to the podcast and you hear something going like this, that's because I'm holding a little homeopathic vial and it's making noise. It's got little pellets in it and it's making noise. So you don't want to keep essential oils next to your homeopathics, because essential oils are just too strong for them. But the essential oils that I will keep are very gentle ones. I do not put essential oils on my chickens. I will put a few drops of essential oils on a paper towel or in a, you know, one of those like diffusers that's like a necklace, but not like an actual diffuser, but I don't know what to call it. You don't want to use like a diffuser that you plug in, but one that you just put a few drops on it and you can hang it somewhere, then you can use that. And I use lavender, lemon, eucalyptus, peppermint, and thyme. And those are gentle essential oils that can help if you have some respiratory stuff in your flock. If you had one chicken that came down with a respiratory thing, then you may want to put a few drops of that on a paper towel and hang it up in your coop. You know, just to keep things flowing. I like to use that. So I just want to see if there are any new people in the chat. I see lots of people chatting among themselves. I don't think I've missed anybody. If I did, say hello. They can. It won't hurt them. So Kiss My Grass Acres asks, can chickens eat peppermint? Now, I'm assuming you mean the plant. They can eat it. They might not eat it, but they can eat it, and it's not going it's fine as long as it's just the plant that you're talking about. Oh, Chloe Smith says, that would be awesome. Can't wait for that video. Yes, I just need to like put it all together in a cute little box, and then I will do that video. So, I hope that answered your question, Katie Doyle. But like I said, just remember that chickens don't need a lot. They really don't. They will be just fine with like a roof over their head and some food, a predator-proof area that they can be in, you know, out of the elements, good food, water, clean coop. For the most part, I mean, as clean as it can get, because you know it's not going to be clean for long. So I got another question from Giovanni. Giovanni asks, what bedding is best for ducks and what is the best area for ducks? Thanks. So I do not consider myself a duck expert, but I do have ducks. My ducks live with my chickens, and I do have a video. It is called Chicken Coop Hack, How to Keep Ducks with Chickens. I think that's the name, but I'm going to put that link to the video in the description here and on the show notes. If you're listening to the podcast, I have found that just good old, just plain old pine shavings have been fine for my ducks. But the main thing to remember is that ducks create way more mess than chickens do. And it's like, it's really wet. They make things wet. They make things muddy. They make the water dirty. I have to change my chicken's water more than once daily, especially in the summer. I really have to change their water a lot because I keep my ducks with my chickens, and I want to make sure that my chickens have clean water. And ducks will just, they take their food, they dip it in the water. They take mud, they dip it in the water. They clean off their faces in the water, and that's really important for them. They have to be able to stick their face in the water in order to clean out their beak and everything. So I just want you to keep in mind that if you're going to keep your ducks in with your chickens, then they are going to create some mess. And what I have in my coop is where my ducks like to sleep, because I noticed they slept in this one corner every night. I ended up putting a tray there. And so to clean that corner, I just take the tray out and dump that out and clean it off. And that has been a lifesaver for me. But like I said, I'm going to link that video where I talk about that and where I show exactly what I'm doing. I'll link that video in the description and in the show notes. So the best area for ducks, if you can keep them in a separate area, that's great. And unless you have perching ducks like Muscovies, their house needs to be on the ground. So my ducks sleep on the floor of the chicken coop. If they had their own house, it would be on the floor. It would be like on the ground. They would have a little house on the ground. And of course, it needs to be predator proof and all that good stuff. One thing to remember is that ducks in general don't go to bed like chickens do. And so you may have to go out there and make them go to bed. But I've got mine trained where I go outside and I'll just say, go to bed. And they all line up in a row. My ducks line up in a row and they go up into the coop. So that's one thing to remember. But ducks are just so fun, delightful creatures. I love ducks, but they do create a lot of mess. So I saw that I had a question, and so I have a question from Kiss My Grass Acres. I have an off the roost question. What type of toys can you buy chickens? Well, let's see. There is a chicken toy, and it's like this like yellow ball. And then there's a little black thing on the top that kind of moves a little bit. And if the chickens kick or move the ball, treats fall out of it. I don't know what company makes it. I cannot remember right now off the top of my head. But the other thing that you can do is you can just get like a cabbage, or you can get some kale, and you can tie it up to where they can get it, but they have to kind of like, you know, if you tie it somewhere where it moves around, then they'll peck at it and it'll move around. And I to be honest, I don't know if that's fun for them. But it's fun when I watch it. So that's my advice for chicken toys. The Haskins Family Vlog has a question. Madam President, one of our chickens laid an egg today that looks like a real egg but is squishy. Is that okay? Do we need to supplement with anything, or is that normal? So I would say, if you're not already, in general, it's best to supplement with oyster shell, or you can feed them their actual eggshells back to them. You can crush them up and feed those back to them, which is what I'm doing right now because I don't want to go to the store and buy oyster shell. Every once in a while, it's normal for a chicken to lay a squishy egg, especially if it's a new layer or if it's the spring and it's just starting to lay again. I wouldn't worry too much about it. If it's something that is happening a lot with the same chicken, then I would start to be concerned that there might be some kind of a reproductive issue going on. But generally, with some good layer feed, you know, like a 16% layer feed and a calcium supplement, they should be just fine. So I'm going to check and see if there are any more questions. It really helps me if you type in your question in all caps, because then I'm a lot more likely to see it. And if you did ask a question and I missed it, just ask it again and hopefully I'll get it. But I did have one more question that was sent to me via my website. Remember, if you have a question that you would like to be answered on Bok Talk, send it to my website. Welcome to, well, what? Send it to my website. Welcome to chickenlandia.com. Go to the contact section. There's a little drop-down menu and press ask a chicken question and I will get it. Brilliant Creatures just asked, is it better to feed layer pellets or crumble? I would say it's your preference and your chicken's preference. It's basically the same thing, just one is in a pellet form and the other is in a crumble form. So I wouldn't say that either one is better than the other. I think they're both absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. Chloe Smith asked, my chicken laid her first egg today. Congratulations. But it was outside the concrete and it broke. You know, the new ones, sometimes they just got to go and they haven't had it figured out yet. Any tips? My other chicken lays inside the nesting box and there is a fake egg. I would say with the first egg, I wouldn't worry about it. She probably is going to get the hang of it and go inside and lay where she's supposed to. Make sure that your nesting boxes are in an area that is relatively private for the chickens. They're more likely to lay in a nesting box that they feel is more secluded and private. So just keep that in mind. But I think with a new layer, sometimes that just happens. Like I had my duck Dice. I have a duck named Dice. My six-year-old named her Dice the Duck. I don't know why. She laid her first egg of the season yesterday, and it was just like lying next to her where she likes to take a bath. So, you know, she was like, oh, this again. And she laid her egg. So Sunny's Place has a question. About my ducks. My ducks stopped laying a couple days ago. They look healthy and are behaving normal. Should I be worried? I wouldn't be worried after just a couple days. Now, I want to say again that I don't consider myself a duck expert, but I do have ducks. I'm not sure why, but when I got chickens, I just completely like immersed myself in chicken education. And so I have a lot of chicken information in my head. I feel super confident about the information that I have about chickens. With ducks, I've just kind of like enjoyed them and they're part of my flock. And if I have a problem, I ask my friend like, hey, you know, this is going on with my ducks. So for whatever reason, I didn't, you know, I just don't have as much duck information in my head as I do chickens. So But in my observation, I don't think that's a big deal for them to not lay for a couple days, especially if they look normal and they're acting normal. But what I do know about ducks is that they bury their eggs. And so you need to make sure and look around and see, have those ducks been laying? Are they somewhere else? Okay, so I am going to go to, and Chloe, now I see your question, but I did answer that question earlier. Let's see, I have got my notes here, if you're wondering what I'm doing. I did have a question from my friend Tony this week. She sent a question in via the website link, the contact section. I just discovered I have mites and I'm in a panic. It happens, and I don't blame you. Is there anything I can do to help the poor girls tonight? All the shops are shut. Yep. It's getting dark. I can't bear the thought of them suffering. I get questions and messages and emails about this all the time. Mites are very, very common. They're fairly easy to treat. I know that it's like totally disturbing when you find mites or lice on your chickens, but it's good to remember that they are species specific. So they're not going to jump on you and live on you and come into your house and invade your house because they can't survive off of you. They have to have birds, chickens to live on. So keep that in mind. That may give you a little peace of mind, because some people are like really worried, like, oh my gosh, now my dogs are going to get them, my cats are going to get them. That's not going to happen. So I have treated, I'm probably going to get some flack for this because there's a whole controversy about diatomaceous earth, and I have talked about it on many of my Bok Talks and on my videos. But I am somebody that uses diatomaceous earth, and I have successfully treated a mite infestation with diatomaceous earth. Now, I think just like what I was talking about with homeopathics, sometimes when you're using a more natural remedy, it's going to take a little bit longer, and you have to keep in mind how you use it and how you're dosing it. So my kids are being so loud. Can you hear that? I don't know if you can hear that or not. Diatomaceous earth, I believe, carries less of a risk. It does carry a risk, and some people are very concerned about it. Compared to a lot of other mite treatments that are not approved for use in chickens and where we don't even know how long the egg withdrawal is, I find diatomaceous earth to be less of a risk in general. But I do wear a mask when I administer it. So I have used it to treat a mite infestation by dusting them with it for every 10 days for 3 doses. And you might have to do more than that. So that's how I have used my diatomaceous earth, and it has worked. And also with deep cleaning of the coop. And then if you're not comfortable using that, I would just use the pyrethrum dust, permethrin dust. And that you would administer the same way in 2 doses. It should do the trick. I would do it 10 days apart along with deep cleaning of your coop. Now, the thing with the permethrin or pyrethrum or whatever you're using that's in that family of insecticides is that it's highly toxic to aquatic life, and it is very toxic to cats. And it's also toxic to bees. So you want to keep that in mind and make sure that you are taking precautions if that is a risk factor in your particular situation. But that's what I would do if I were you. There's also permethrin sprays that you can use in the coop, and you should be fine. And just know that mites and lice are something that almost every chicken keeper has dealt with at some point. They're very common, especially in the fall when it's starting to get colder, it's starting to get damp. It's raining a little bit more. You got to keep an eye out for them during that time. And then also in the spring, sometimes they will lie dormant over the winter, and then they'll come out in the springtime or when it starts to warm up, and it can be a big problem. So best to just handle it as quickly as possible and take a deep breath and reach for your rescue remedy. Put a little bit of it in your water because it is nerve-wracking. Oh, Sunny's Place says, I can't hear your kiddos. That's good. Rockin' C Homestead, thank you for joining us today. I am so glad that you could join us. So, guys, that is going to be it for today. Remember, if you want to submit a question to Bok Talk, then you can do so by going to my website, welcometochickenlandia.com, going to the contact section and choosing Ask a Chicken Question. And for those of you that are joining me today in my live YouTube show, I'm so glad that you're here and you joined me. And if this is the first time you've been listening to my podcast, for my podcast listeners, I am super happy that you're here. So I really appreciate it, and I hope you guys have a great day. Remember, in Chickenlandia, you're always welcome, and it's always 100% friendly chicken entertainment and education. You guys have a good day. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Dalia Monterosso, also known as the president of Chickenlandia, is a backyard chicken educator in Northwest Washington. To submit your question to Bok Talk, visit welcometochickenlandia.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye!